For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. A Yale report on climate change and health in Connecticut, recently released by the Center on Climate Change and Health at the Yale School of Public Health, comes to some troubling conclusions and makes urgent calls to action. One of the authors of that report is Laura Bozzi, PhD. She joins us now on the program. How much hotter has Connecticut gotten, and what have been the consequences?
Our data finds that Connecticut has gotten about 3.5 degrees warmer over the last 125 years. And the consequences are wide-ranging, including for public health. We are seeing earlier springs, later falls, which leads to changes in vector-borne disease prevalence. In fact, some of our data found that over the last 20 years, there was an increase in the populations of mosquitoes that carry viruses that can sicken humans, and that can be related to warmer weather. We also are seeing, as a larger consequence of this warming trend, more intense storms. So now we know that climate change is happening here in Connecticut and that it affects our health, and we also know that there is greater warming that is expected.
You know, you mentioned the mosquito situation. You know, we've just come off a week of 70-degree temperatures in November here in Connecticut. And I think the mosquito issue almost speaks to the fact that your report mentioned that the rising temperatures could almost change our seasons. What are the other consequences of our seasons changing?
That certainly can affect agriculture. And it also can affect water availability. So with hotter summers and changes in precipitation patterns, as we've seen in Connecticut, we can experience droughts, and there are projections for expecting more summer drought in the future.
Now, is this a problem the leaders of Connecticut can rectify on their own? I mean, the atmosphere of one state is inexorably tied to that of a neighboring state, right?
The state of Connecticut is working particularly through the Governor's Council on Climate Change on addressing mitigation, so acting to reduce our greenhouse gases to address this problem of causing more climate change, and then adapting to these consequences that we're already seeing and that we expect to see in the future. So that's something that the state of Connecticut is addressing and it needs to continue to address with full force. But we also need changes within our region and at the national level.
Okay. Well, we've talked about the state and the national level, but what can people listening to this, individuals in their own households, what is our call to action on a personal level?
So in terms of adaptation, you want to think about who in your family may be more vulnerable to these consequences, for instance, for heat. That's a particular concern for the elderly, people with pre-existing conditions, pregnant women, infants, and make sure that particularly during heat waves, people have a cool place to go and are drinking plenty of fluids, taking breaks. But then, you know, at a community level, we also want to make sure that those that are more at risk are taken care of. So check on your elderly neighbor during a heat wave. Make sure that there's planning in your community around extreme events like hurricanes and how to evacuate and have identified shelters that are open and accessible for everybody. So, there's a lot of planning and knowledge that we can have on adapting and then certainly on mitigation. We know some of those actions to put up for public transportation or walking. Certainly, you know, a lot of us are telecommuting these days. And that's very helpful. Switching to a plant-based diet, that has an important consequence for greenhouse gas solutions. And then also working with your community to look for those larger level solutions, addressing walkability or making renewable energy more accessible at a community scale.
I want to touch on one thing you just mentioned in your answer. You talked about the making sure that people who is particularly susceptible to the heat have access to shelters. I imagine going into a shelter is a much different deal in this time of pandemic. How has the coronavirus and the pandemic we're all living through right now, how does that affect the climate crisis that your report indicates that we are also facing?
Well, I think one big takeaway is that it shown the consequences of a large event, right? So you see the places where we have come together to respond really strongly as a community. And I think that that's a real bright spot that we've seen in COVID. And then you also see the strong disparities in our society that would have become evident in something like COVID. And so, you know, one response to give to that is that this is an indication of the kinds of situations that we can expect under climate change to have more of these large and sort of societally stressing situations. And are we equitably prepared to respond to them?
You mentioned in your report that 7 of the toxic sites earmarked for rehabilitation by the so-called State Superfund are vulnerable to the effects of climate change, including things like flooding and storm surge during big storms like the storm Isaias we recently had. What is the worst case scenario there?
The concern is that those kinds of events, flooding or a hurricane, could release the contaminants into the air, into the soil, into the water in the surrounding areas, which would be a health risk for those in those areas.
I mean, given the fact that Connecticut's a small state, you know, you would think, I guess, all of them would be in danger. Were you surprised it was only 7 out of 16?
So I can't say that I was particularly surprised. I thought, you know, one thing that was interesting was that they were largely inland. You know, we often think of climate change as climate change impacts as something that's coastal, but this was, in this case, nearly all of those sites were inland.
What sense do you make of that? What conclusion do you reach that because of the fact that they were all inland?
Well, so the risk was from flooding, and we are expecting more intense rainfall in the future. I think that there is a perception of, you know, concern around hurricanes and coastal storms, but large flooding and rainstorms inland have a real danger for our health, both immediate from, you know, drowning and dangers like that, but also events like this, that it could release contaminants or that it could affect our drinking water supplies or other kinds of impacts inland.
In the month since you and Dr. Dubrow put this report out, has there been a response, especially a response from people who could do something to change this?
We've been really pleased with the response, including from the media and from organizations looking to help us to get the word out. I think a lot of this was also around providing information in one place. So we've been really pleased about that. This report also aligns with the Governor's Council on Climate Change process, and we believe that the report has informed the development of that report, and this GC3 process is providing recommendations to the governor on how to address mitigation and adaptation in the state. And so our real hope is that this is helping to drive that process in a positive way.
You know, Dr. Laura Bosie of the Yale School of Public Health, thank you so much for weighing in.
Thank you for having me.